Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. And where do we start? The Astros with a really, really nice comeback after it was looking bleak in the fifth inning of Game 3. And they come up with some incredible offense over the last two games, and they get the split. Now they got Boston tonight. The Rockets, with just an ass-whooping in New Orleans, they took care of that business by 32. The return of Tari. The Alpe's greatest game, maybe ever, and a team that seems they had a team meeting we'll talk about a little bit later in the show that was maybe hopefully a turning point for them. Yet Gary Woodland with his revelation a couple of weeks ago about the brain surgery that he had and the PTSD that he was experiencing, winning the tournament here.
Oh, that's the same guy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. I forgot that was the same guy.
Oh, my God. It was that's why he was crying. It was just so emotional for him. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, he said it took 1,000 pounds off his shoulders to finally reveal what he had been through. He hadn't told anybody, but it obviously all came together for him, and that was just a great story. He's going to be playing in the Masters now. And then the Duke UConn game,
one of the all-time
greats. And does it surpass? Does Mullen's shot surpass Christian Laettner's?
I don't know because at the time college basketball was bigger, and so it felt bigger. But you know that was a 2-1. That's a trip into the Final Four, yeah. And that I think it was the same thing at that time when Kentucky got beat by Duke. I think it was for a trip into the Final Four as well. So it's not like it was a Final Four or a championship game. And this was, I mean, I think it's got to be right there with it if you're being objective about it. I know that Laettner is a 3-quarter court pass. It's pretty unbelievable. But Mullen's shot was a job site shot, like you know. He shot from the job site. He was way out there. Steph Curry distance, also known as Caitlin Clark distance, fired it. And unbelievable. You got one of the twins making a mistake with the basketball and turns into a, you know, usually you just foul as fast as you can. But you don't, you know, there's always that thought that maybe we can turn them over. And this time you did. And
if maybe they made one less State Farm commercial. Yep. Maybe he wouldn't have turned that ball over.
That's possible. Yep.
Yep.
If they did one less commercial, maybe he dribbles around him instead of trying to throw a pass over two bigs with their arms extended, jumping upwards towards him.
Yes.
Maybe just dribble around them, or
just hold the ball.
Hold it. Just start dribbling around them. Let them foul you, and you go shoot free throws. That's all you got to do. You don't want an 8-second call, obviously, but and if you missed it. I mean, Duke was up by two. They inbounds the ball. There's about 8 seconds left, I guess. And so, you know, they inbounds the ball to one pass. The one passer in the, is about the free throw line extended. Passes to, what's the other twin's name?
Cameron and Caden.
Yeah, Caden. Caden gets it. And there's two guys coming towards him. Instead of just trying to dribble around him and get fouled and go shoot free throws, he tries to throw like a hook pass over the top of him. It gets batted. The guy comes up with it, makes a pass to the right side angle on half court. And that player very wisely, instead of just trying to fire something up real quick, he passes it back to an actual shooter. You know, in Mullen, who no relations to Chris Mullen, who ends up, you know, basically it was a catch and shoot. He didn't even, I don't even know if he dribbled. He just fired from about 29 feet out, probably 29 to 30 feet out. And I mean, splash. And the place just went instantly crazy. And I just thought, this is one of the most, it looked like it was dead at half. They looked like they were dead.
I 44-29,
I think, at half. Yeah.
I turned it off.
I did too. I was tracking it. I was tracking it in the second half on my score thing. I was up here actually working on a draft board with an agent. And I'm like tracking. I'm like, oh, I said, they're making a little bit of comeback. Oh, they're getting, Ron, I got to let you go. I need to watch the end of this. I was like, holy crap. What is happening?
Incredible. So that was, that nationally, that was the biggest game, biggest play.
Mm-hmm.
Locally, the Astros.
Yeah.
I want to tell you guys something, though. My boy, Lance, I've never seen a guy who can turn a season around the way he did. They were down. Lance put something, he just said, uh-uh, this is going to be a special season for this Astros team. And they were down 6-0 in the fifth inning of game three after they lost the first two. And it was during that sixth inning, or that fifth inning, when he texted us and said, no, this is going to be a special season. They turned it around with an 8-run inning.
I did.
Took the lead.
That's exactly what I said. I said, it feels like the Astros are headed for a special season.
Yes, yes.
And that's like when you call that one, oh, he's just kind of special. Like when you call the one kid special.
I was going to ask, is that low-key special?
Yes.
That kind of special?
That's what I meant by it.
That's kind of what you meant by that.
Javier looking razor sharp.
Hey, Javier got his ass kicked. Burrow's got his ass kicked. Imai got his ass kicked.
He got his ass kicked, but at least he showed up. Like, he showed some of the stuff he has.
Yeah, he was 93.
Javier really is like, oh, my God. He literally might be dead in the water. But we got a little ways to go with Javier. I mean, but Imai has, he's got some stuff,
too. He was throwing it up there at 97.
He just needs to get control. I at least have some hope for him. With Christian Javier, I'm like, please let something look different than this. Please. But
none of them, for whatever reason, they were scared of that Angels lineup. None of them had, even Hunter didn't have control.
No.
He walked four guys in his.
He did. I mean, he only gave up he gave up no runs. But, the problem was, now you did have some bullpen pitchers who, look, the pitching was not good this weekend. There's no way around it. But the hitting rescued you two different games, really.
Yeah.
It didn't rescue the first one. You kind of got to a quick 4-0 lead before you knew it was 4-4. And then you were just, you were just in a battle to see who could score the most, literally, legitimately. And I didn't think they were wired to win two high-scoring games, and yet here they are, winning two high-scoring games.
It was playing to Hoyle, according to Hoyle, in the first two games where they got decent pitching, but then they couldn't score any runs. And then in game three, it was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Where'd this offense come from? I'll tell you, we're going to go over all the guys and where they are, and at some point during the show, and we will and just look at what kind of weekend everybody had. We'll do that. We got a lot to do in this show.
Let's do that, because there's some good things with Yordan to talk about. It's one weekend,
well,
but certainly there was some positives there with Yordan.
Here's something with Yordan. I'm in that thing. I'm doing it again this year, and it's actually a pretty cool thing, because it makes you stay on top of what everybody is doing. You have to pick a guy to get a hit every game, and I picked Yordan the first couple of games, and here's a problem with Yordan, and it's going to be a problem all season long. It's the same thing that the Angels are going to find with Trout.
Yep.
If they're smart, if other teams are smart, is that you're never going to pitch to Trout. You're never going to pitch to Trout. The dummies, the Angels, for some reason, pitched to a Yordan,
and they didn't early in the series.
They were walking
him.
All of a sudden,
him.
They said, "Oh no, we'll go after Yordan." Well, that's not smart.
Yeah. And then they got away from it again,
right?
And they're like, "All right, never mind. Three walks. We're going to pitch around
but
Yordan."
But Yordan, in any situation, who's ever hitting, Paredes was hitting behind him, and he came up with a couple of huge hits after they had walked Yordan.
Yeah.
But if Yordan is going to be a guy in any situation from the first inning on, and especially late, he ain't seeing anything.
No protection.
None.
This is true. I mean, you got Altuve when they're hitting him there. You got Correa.
You got Paredes.
Directly behind him, yeah.
It's really interesting to see what Joe thinks of. And for good reason. Paredes was batting third all weekend. There's a reason for that. He was their best hitter last year. Yeah. He got hurt, and when he went down, it was a big blow to this team because he's a guy who takes pitches. He is a guy who is not afraid to go 0-2, and he'll still put bat on ball. He doesn't strike out a bunch. It was interesting to see, we got to get rid of Paredes all offseason. And here he is batting third for this team.
Yeah, and played every game.
Yeah.
Played every game.
And like I said, they're going to put him at second. They're going to put him at third. When you pitch Rand for Walker, they put him at first. They'll put him DH. There's plenty of at-bats for Isak Paredes.
Well, hopefully you get rid of him and get an outfielder. I'm hoping we just get rid of him in the middle of the lineup.
No, we made the case. Well, I did. I don't know if you agreed or not that you stop already with this, that you got too many because of injuries. And, oh, by the way, you can figure out a way.
Just don't take out a bat. I wasn't a big fan of dealing him either because, number one, I like him better than Walker, first and foremost. And then, number two, just don't get rid of bats. Now, Walker had some moments.
Yeah, what did you think of Walker this weekend?
Walker had some moments. I mean, he had some moments last year at the end of the year. It's just about sustaining it. I mean, look, this can't be a series.
The same. He was really good this weekend.
Oh, I know. Let's see if it sustains it. This is just not enough sample size for me to think an older player is back.
The Christian Walker.
Against the Angels,
last
you're right.
Last year was the aberration.
Okay, but this is also the Angels. Yeah. This is not exactly a good team last year. It's never a good team. So, I just want to see him. Let's let four or five series play out. But I was happy with them this weekend. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. But I'm not ready to announce, his return as a major factor yet. I'm hopeful, but I still want to see it. I want to see it against other pitchers. I want to see him sustain it. Because he sustained it previously in Major League, in his Major League career. So he should be able to do that with the Astros.
Yep. It's nice to have. How about the backup, Christian Vasquez? It's really nice to have that dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a Major League hitter. It's amazing to me that how he's just available. I mean, this dude he's obviously a pretty damn good catcher, but he's a good offensive player. So it's a little surprising that he was out there again for the Astros to get him back.
Yeah. That's what the Astros do, bring catchers back.
That's what they do. It's what they do.
It's what we're known for.
Yeah. And it was nice because he came up with that huge hit with the bases loaded. And it was off the end of the bat and went to right field and blah, blah, blah. But it still is nice to have Christian Vasquez back because Yiner, he had a bad year last year. Yiner had a bad year last year, and he's off to a slow start. Doesn't look great at the plate. Sometimes he just chases stuff that is just
– yeah.
It's like, man, Yiner, little plate discipline.
You got to be taking steps forward. Like, this can't be – you can't have put it neutral already.
Yeah.
Like, your career's got to continue to take steps forward. You got to keep learning, keep getting better. Tell you who's got to be excited is Angels fans at Mike Trout after that first series.
Gosh,
we're talking about Christian Walker, Mike Trout. Now, it is funny because, he only gets three RBIs. In the whole series, he ends up with three RBIs. But, a lot of walks, not that many strikeouts. He had two home runs, one in the first game, one in the second game. Solo. He had another RBI in the third game. But Mike Trout, who has, historically been one of – before injury took him out, was one of the most devastating hitters in league history. Like, it was, you can't undersell how dominant he was. The JJ Watt of baseball, and like JJ Watt had injury that kind of short-circuited what was an incredible run, and JJ kind of had that. Mike Trout's 34 now, but 34 is not it doesn't have to be a death sentence for a hitter at all. For some guys like Abreu, some guys will run into a wall. But yep. I don't think Trout doesn't look like he's running into any kind of wall. But we'll see if he can even stay healthy.
Yeah. No. Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. He's going to be able to stay. Just like Yordan, they had the poll. One of their polls this weekend was, "What's the most important thing this season?" And the answer was Jordan staying healthy.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't know that I disagree. It sure would be nice to have the new additions or Christian Javier and Lance McCullers, bounce back, or the new additions, Emi and Burroughs pitch great. But but Jordan's offense, Jordan in the lineup is a key to this entire deal.
Yeah, you got it. It's a non-negotiable.
Yeah,
it's a non-starter. Your season cannot proceed with any kind of playoff talk if Jordan Alvarez is not a major component this year. And so far so good. We're short term, but that could have turned into an 0-4 weekend or a 1-3 weekend, and instead the offense bailed you out with the 8-run inning. In game three, and then you just battled. You got up early, then Emi gave it up a little bit, and you just kept battling back offensively. Got some key hits, and it's good. I'll take 2-2. I mean, from where you started and how the offense looked to start the series, I was like, oh my god, is it going to be this terrible on offense the whole year? I'll take a 2-2.
Yeah. Oh no, that was nice. That was really really nice. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to get in, boy, we got a lot to do here on the show. So don't you go anywhere, or just give a call, 713-780-3776. What a weekend for the Golden Nugget. I mean, this, I don't know. There's a lot of people who think, well, this is the best time of year. This is sports-wise. This is the best time of year sports-wise. I don't know that it gets much better than these past couple of weeks sports-wise. It was just incredible with the between TSA and how much the crap that was and how tough it was to get out of the city. Just a 2-hour ride down the road. But let's listen, even if TSA gets their act together and it's all going to be great again and everything else, it's still an 8-hour trip. By the time from door to door to Vegas, it's an 8-hour trip. You could be playing for 6 hours already at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles by the time someone just gets to Las Vegas. It is so good, and it is Vegas style. The casino is as good as any Vegas casino. The sports book is as good as any Vegas sports book. I love the poker room. I play there all the time. The pool, it's got bar, swim-up bars. It's got cabanas. It's got everything you could possibly need, all right? It's got a golf course that is awesome. I love the golf course, and if you haven't played it, you need to play it next time that you go. 12 restaurants. What more do you need? It got a beautiful steakhouse, Vic and Anthony's, that's at first class, and every step along the way. You're looking for the best way to enjoy a time that you got a little bit of time. You got a weekend. You got a night. You got a weekend. You can do it all. GoldenNuggetLC.com. GoldenNuggetLC.com.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. Rockets win by 32. 32. It was the Pellies, but it was still a 32-point win. Alperen Şengün, maybe the best game of his career, 36 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. Holy crap. Could you do much more? 7 assists, 0 turnovers. They had 33 and 6 yesterday. That is not Rockets bad. I don't know what the hell happened. I just don't know. And Tari finally woke up. 15 points. He was 6 of 12, 3 of 5 from 3. 3 of 5 from 3. 8 rebounds, 1 assist. Holy crap. That was.
Are you willing to pay him the max now?
Well.
I mean, it was the 25-win Pellies.
Hey, listen, they did a 3. I don't know if you saw this. After the game, Tari's sitting at his locker. And Alpi's got his hand around his shoulder. And they did the interview together in it looked like an act of solidarity. Maybe maybe telling everybody, but here's there's some telling things in this interview. It's 3 minutes long, so we won't play the whole thing. But here's Alpie first and Tari. They're sitting together. Alpie's got his arm around Tari's neck. Here was the conversation.
Tari being amazing for us, you know. Happy to have him back because he's really important for us. You know, we've been talking to him. He's really one of the key guys for us and the team, and he's now understanding that too, you know. And he just, you know, goes over there, does what he's doing, killing it, you know, crushing and everything. So that's really important for us.
Tari, how important was it for you to be able to bring that energy back to the game that your teammates needed?
Very important. We had a team meeting, and you know, we kind of got everything out and kind of understood what expectations are. And you know, guys just told me, you know, we need you.
And kind of attack him.
Yeah, they said we need you, and that's all it was. I appreciate everybody. I appreciate Alpie. Through this stretch, I mean, he's sent me stuff. He's just spoke confidence into me. A lot of these guys have really, you know, tried to help me keep my head up. So I appreciate Alpie for sure, and the rest of these guys.
That is interesting.
So Alpie went on to
That's
say,
leadership. That's leadership by Alpie. Yep. That's great. That's yep. great to hear.
He went on to say he was just in his head too much. They went on to say, you know, everybody, you know, is rooting forever. Even Kate. He said. Even KD is rooting for other guys.
Where did he say? Well, they must have said that in another clip.
Well, this was 3 minutes long. We cut it off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
even
we'll
KD
play,
wants people to do well. He didn't
we'll
send,
play more
he
of
didn't
this.
Send me clips or anything, but
we'll play more of this throughout the show.
KD sent a yellow thumbs up.
How tip. About first of all that they had a team meeting?
Well,
secondly that yeah. they all and he said and Alpie said we attacked Tari. To, you know, start, get back to being himself as opposed to who he's been.
We attacked Tari.
That's what he said. We attacked him. And Tari said, you know, they all want me to, you know, and that's
and
what
it, with lo- they attacked him with love.
Yeah. That's what, but they also, you know, they also had a meeting to maybe clear the air, maybe to, you know, encourage each other. It was funny. We'll play more of this throughout because there were little tidbits throughout this whole thing that really are interesting about this basketball team. Maybe it could be a turning point. It was the Pelicans, so there's that. But maybe them sitting down and maybe airing some different, maybe encouraging each other, maybe even airing some differences. We don't know. Maybe this team can turn things around. They eliminated a couple of teams from being able to catch them in the standings so that they won't be
playing
in the play-in. Right.
Yeah. So, I wasn't that worried about play-in just because well, Phoenix had to, you know, the Rockets are only 8-8 in their last 16. I mean,
right.
it's not like they're playing great basketball, but it's pretty much they're locked in now. They're either going to be, I mean, for the most part, it's pretty well locked in. They're either going to be playing the Nuggets 4-5. It's not technically mathematically locked in, but relative to the flows of the, you know, how these teams play, you're probably not catching the Nuggets. You're going to be either flip-flopping with Minnesota. You're tied with them right now. You're either going to be playing the Nuggets more than likely, and they're going to have home court, or you're going to be playing the Lakers who have home court. That's more than likely Minnesota and Houston are the only two. There is a chance the Nuggets and Lakers could flip-flop. There is that chance. Nuggets only behind them a game. I don't know who has the tiebreaker in that one. As far as Houston's concerned, you got New York at home will be a challenge. Milwaukee at home should be a W. Utah at home should be a W. You're at Golden State, you'll be the favorite. At Phoenix, you'll be the favorite. Doesn't matter. Doesn't mean you're going to win those two games. We know that. Philadelphia at home, you'll be a big favorite. Minnesota at home could be playoff jockeying. Although I'm at the point where like, what difference does it make? Nuggets. Whether you're playing the Nuggets, whether you're playing the Lakers, who cares? You're going to have to beat one of them, then you're going to have to beat, you know. You got to get through what you got to get through. It doesn't matter. You're not going to have home court. You're not going to have home court advantage. So it doesn't
matter. They're not going to be a favorite in either of those.
Nope, they're not. So to me, I don't care who you get. I mean, There's different elements.
I mean, if you could pick one, which one would you pick?
If I could pick one, I'm probably picking. I'm probably picking the Lakers. I can't really tell you why though. Just because I'm afraid of Jokic, I guess. And it's altitude. It's Jokic. You got a bigger point in Murray. I feel like they could turn you over more easily. The Nuggets. Yeah, and that's the thing about the Pelicans. Like, oh, this could be a turning point. I love it from a psychological standpoint, but that does nothing. They can be on board with, they can be best friends forever, holding each other's hands, going to, you know, skate parks together, and but they still can't take care of the basketball. They still don't, like, I don't, being pals is awesome, and it's one part of it, but there's still basketball stuff that they didn't address, and you know that too, and I know you're not saying they, I know you're not acting like that's not a key, but that's the thing that bothers me is that, yeah. Once you get past, at least you want to be able to clear that hurdle, that they have, you know, some kind of camaraderie that matters. Yes. But the basketball stuff is still the basketball stuff, and that's not going away anytime soon. So that's a
well, it sure would be nice. I mean, it was one game, but it sure would be nice to have Tari. Man, if they did clear the air, if they did get Tari out of his head, out of his own head, if they did, you know, if they did say some stuff that maybe has been lingering in there. You know, maybe it can make a difference for them. It's the basketball itself is just, it, you know, it, the stupid play, the turnovers, the lack of, you know, the fourth quarter of collapses, you know, all that stuff. They point guard, they're bringing the ball up. All of these things they gotta be able to figure out. But maybe you never know. Listen, the Nuggets were losing to Utah until Utah's winning, and they pulled everybody out in the fourth quarter, and Denver came back and beat them. This is not the same Nuggets team. It's just not. They're not. They're not as good as they have been.
And we're not the same Rockets team.
No.
I mean, it's true. I mean, you know, I think Minnesota's got enough to make a run, but they just don't play consistently to put it together.
Well, listen, Ant, I think I'd like to play the Timberwolves the least out of the Nuggets, Lakers, and Timberwolves with a healthy Ant.
Yeah, well, you're not going to have to worry about them, I don't think, in the first
game. No, you're not going to have to worry about them. You got two games to make up to. You got to beat the, you know, the Nuggets have to kind of collapse a little bit for you to.
Yeah.
They won six straight, but, listen, maybe it's a little, I don't know, maybe a little confidence builder. It was New Orleans, so there's that. But it may be a little bit of a confidence builder. At least it's a positive as opposed to the negatives that we've seen out of this Rockets team. So that is a positive. And we found out that they had themselves a little team meeting, and maybe there was some come to Jesus that came out of it. We'll see. 713-780-3776, 15 minutes away from what did you learn this weekend in one sentence. 15 minutes away from what did you learn. You learned something this weekend. You got 15 minutes to get it together and give us a call.
Yeah, get it together, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe all the listeners should have a team meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. What about that?
Yeah. And you guys should, you know, come together and maybe some positives will come out of it for the listenership. Maybe that'll happen.
Oh, when we come back, the ABS is in full effect in Major League Baseball, and it's taken direct aim on one of the worst in the league who is being exposed like we didn't already know.
Oh, my God.
That was one of the greatest things. Yeah. If you haven't heard, well, I'm not going to spoil it. When we come back, we'll talk about one of the greatest things that we've seen happen in baseball in a decade, other than Astros championships.
All right. Let's talk about Zadig Jewelers.
Let's talk about Zadig Jewelers. You want to talk about great for 5 decades, that would be the Zadig name. That would be Zadig Jewelers. As a matter of fact, I saw my old friend Kim this weekend. He's got he collects watches, and he's in a watch group. He luxury watches, and he said, you know, one of the guys who's in his group actually works at Zadig, and we were talking a little bit about Zadig because they're well known for having the very best watches. They buy, they sell, they trade. So if you are someone who has luxury watches or you have one and you want to get a new one, of course, they've got the newest that you're going to find. If you want to trade yours for another model, they can do that. If you say, you know what, I just want to sell mine, I know they appreciate in value because they do appreciate in value. This isn't a car. These watches go up. And you might just want to trade yours in and cash in on it and say, look, that was a nice little investment for me. That's the Zadig difference as well. Zadig Jewelers, they're located at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, but that's just one of many gifts that you can get. I talk about Mother's Day all the time, but I want to just focus for 1 second on these luxury watches, because if you're looking for something great for yourself or for your loved one, for her, they have his and hers, you are going to find the biggest names, the biggest designers. You're going to find unique timepieces that no one else has, because they are a boutique location for many of the makers of watches in the entire world. And they also have people on staff. They have specifically certified workers who are able to fix your timepieces as well and service them. So make sure that you go to Zadig Jewelers. If you want, you can request an appointment or just drop in. 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, it's Zadig Jewelers.
Thousands of dealerships compete for customer satisfaction every year. For the 11th year in a row, D&M Leasing was named America's Leasing Company of the Year by Cars.com. Ranked number one in the Southwest for service and customer experience, D&M makes getting a vehicle easy. No dealership visits, no pressure, just leasing experts who handle it all. Call 713-290-1000 or visit dmautoleasing.com today. D&M Leasing, America's leasing company of the year.
We make leasing easy at D&M.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. ABS is in full swing, and the Astros aren't very good at it. They, I believe, 0 for 6 in the first weekend. They were 0 for 6 in their challenges. Not very good. Of course, they didn't have C.B. Buckner behind the plate. If you have C.B. Buckner behind the plate and you challenge a strike or a ball call, chances are you're going to win. You're going to win.
Good chance.
Because C.B. Buckner is the new Angel Hernandez. It's today's Angel Hernandez.
Yeah, he's been Angel for a while.
Yeah, right. But Angel was the face of you suck at umping, right?
Yeah.
CB is so underrated as far as sucking goes.
Yeah.
I mean, so underrated.
Right.
But a CB Buckner game is really, really, his strike zone is so wide that it really is beneficial to pitchers. Except there are calls right down the middle that he misses too, which hurts pitchers. So he is, I mean, he's a two-tool umpire where he can miss strikes and balls. Right?
Yeah.
So here is, I mean, the biggest, the Red Sox are at the Reds to open the season. The biggest cheers were not for anything, any hit or fielding play or pitch. The biggest cheers were for ABS replays on C.B. Buckner.
Got him looking. Challenge. Immediate tap of the helmet. The Reds runners all hold.
Batter's challenging the pitch.
ABS powered by T-Mobile. That's out of the zone. The AB continues.
We'll keep it. Is that, that's not the Suarez one, is it?
Yeah.
That's the Suarez.
We'll keep it there, yeah.
ABS could be a lot of fun, Lark.
Yeah.
ABS could be a lot of fun, Mark.
It's amazing how minuscule the misses are, but these guys just know it. Great feel for that strike zone.
It was called strike three, end of inning. Now the 2-2. Called strike three, tap the helmet again. He says it's off the plate away.
Batter's challenging the pitch.
Here we go.
Same at bat.
Same at no, second that pitch. That isn't even the Suarez
back-to-back
one.
Back-to-back.
That's not even the Suarez
that's
one.
Back-to-back. Yeah, back-to-back challenges. Right?
No, but that was not Suarez.
Oh, we missed
Suarez
the
is coming up.
Yeah.
Suarez is coming up. And they go, he missed six in a row.
No, it wasn't six in a row, was it?
Yeah, and six of eight total, six in a row.
Oh, six challenges in a row. Well, yeah, he missed two pitches in a row.
Yes.
He had two challenges back to back.
In a row.
Yeah, but he missed two pitches. It was 1-2,
yeah.
And then it went 2-2, then it went 3-2 on him.
And then Suarez comes up, and it went. The place exploded, too.
Yeah, I mean, he got overturned, and then they showed the umpire card how many misses he had. It was terrible. Buckner was so pissed on the second one. Like, this is going to break C.B. Buckner. We're finally going to be done. He'll have to retire, or Major League Baseball have to get rid of him. This is instant accountability for these umps. And it is going to piss them off. There's no way they like this being shown up. But, I mean, how is that any different than somebody calling the line in tennis where they say, you know, somebody calling offsides in soccer? And, you know, they get checked by VAR. They have a checking system. And, you know, if it's wrong, they get it overturned. Sorry, baseball. But don't be so terrible, Buckner.
Well, but here's the deal. Here in Houston, it was the exact opposite. Every challenge, the umpires won. The Astros were really, really bad at challenging balls and strikes, and every one they won. So, I mean, if you're really, really terrible like C.B. Buckner, okay, you've got to be accountable. But, you know, all of the bitching and moaning that you do if you're a player about the strike zone, you found out. There was a stat yesterday, Blummer brought up, he said, hey, They were right 95% of the time, and they were right 100% on the first three games of the challenges.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's like, okay, maybe we gotta think about how we're challenging. And oh, by the way, the Angels could have been dumber. They challenged a call in the first inning and put it on. You know, the rest of the game, you only got one left. A first pitch in the first inning, they challenged. Which was like, no, that's don't do that. Don't do that because, you know what, take your 0-1 and move along, especially if it's that close, because they were wrong on it.
Yeah, right.
We haven't talked about, and we will here, we don't have time. We got a break because you know what we got up next, Lance? The game show sweeping the nation.
What did you learn?
What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? You learn something. It doesn't have to be about sports. It could be about anything. 713-780-37. Mine's not about sports. I learned something this weekend that's really important to me and my future. 713-780-3776. The number, if you would like to get
to your future.
Yeah, my future.
What happened with Wendy?
Well, no.
Okay.
It's not that. It doesn't have anything to do with Wendy. But it's kind of important to me, and I'll tell you what it is on the other side. Nothing to do with sports.
Okay.
But you know who has something to do with sports? Underdog.
Yeah, Underdog Fantasy has a big higher. I just throwing this out there. Higher 5.5 assists for Draymond Green in that late game last night. That might have been interesting to some of you, like including the guy that sent me the message asking my opinion for it. And I'm like, I like higher. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. It's obviously the total's high, so I'm going to say higher than 5.5 assists for Draymond Green. And that was what brought him in. He had his other two. He didn't at the time have them, but I know what they were. So he had three legs. He had a lower in a tournament game, and then he had a higher in an NBA game, and he asked my opinion for this other one. I said, I go higher on assists. See, that's what you can do. All these games, including baseball now, you can look at the stats they have, and they have multiple stats for all these different players, and you can pick and choose higher or lower. My strikeouts yesterday were 5.5. It was looking like on lower was going to be a problem until all of a sudden he couldn't strike anyone out. He's out of the game. Boom. That was a winner, unfortunately. But so this is how it works. You pick higher or lower on the statistics. You piece them together with six players. The more players you pick, the higher your payout goes. And if you download the app, if you've never played this, it's awesome. But you got to download the Underdog app, and you use promo code Lance, my name. They're going to give you $50 in bonus entries when you make your first $5 play. So it doesn't make sense not to take the free $50 in bonus entries. Do it by using my promo code Lance. And this is where you can play along with the games you're watching and win real money, completely legally right here in the state of Texas. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back. Time to play. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to play. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? We got a full board there, Del? We're good? All right. I'll start. If you're in California and you want to go to lunch, make sure you know where they're having No Kings rallies. Otherwise,
you get stuck.
You could get stuck and see a lot of really, really old people.
There you go. You got
there
stuck.
You have it. There you have it. Did you learn anything this weekend, Lance?
I learned it still feels good to see Duke lose.
Ah, okay. There you have it. Adele, did you learn anything this weekend?
Along those lines, I've learned that UConn makes watching Duke lose less enjoyable.
Oh, yeah.
Dan Hurley is
a villain, to be sure.
Yep.
All right, we got full board.
All right, let's go. Dal, who's up?
So Robert initially called in for this, and then I told him, hey, man, you called in early. Want to talk Rockets? He goes, yeah, I want to talk Rockets. Now, Robert, you get your wish. You can talk about what you learned. What's up, Robert?
And he's
been on hold so long, he's now listening.
Don't listen on the radio. That's rule number one. Don't listen on the radio. Listen through your phone.
So hopefully Robert can hear us and we'll get back to him.
Yeah, Robert, we'll get back to you, but don't listen through the radio.
Let's move on to Renegade Roy. What have you learned?
Uh-oh. Another L for Houston. The best UFL team in Texas is still the Dallas.
Yeah, that was an ass whooping, by the way. That was not great.
Another curse. Another Houston coach comes on and loses.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
We've ruined so many careers.
Wow.
The Gamblers opened up against the Renegades, and it didn't go well.
It was bad.
Let's move on.
Someone was on twice. In 2 weeks, he may be taking another loss in the next game.
Or he was on twice.
They're going to beat Birmingham's ass.
Was on twice, and that's why the result was so bad.
Oh, maybe it doubled up for one.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? Let's move on to Ocho. Ocho, what have you learned?
I learned that I disrespected Al Horford by saying he would be Chris Sinak's ceiling.
Oh, bull crud.
Well, Horford's was a great player.
Yeah, first of all, yeah, Horford was a really good player.
So he would be insulting him by saying that. Ceiling.
Well, he's saying Sinak. Yeah.
I know. Sinak would wish to be Al Horford.
No, what he's saying is that's too low. Now he's too low.
High.
It's too high. Basically saying he wants the Cougars to be sold. Like the Comets or like the Sun.
Oh, yeah, we haven't mentioned that.
We'll mention that. He basically wants the Cougars to be sold and moved out of town because nobody hates Cougar basketball more than Ocho.
Well, particularly the players involved.
Hates the players.
Name
the last time that Ocho wasn't taking shots at
I know,
Cougar
but
player.
How could you dislike these kids? They're the greatest kids ever.
He simply analyzes basketball and says they're flawed.
He didn't like the players. I don't think he likes the basketball players. I don't think it's the people, but... I think he'd be happy if
they just have the most wins over the last decade over any team in the country.
Doesn't matter. He's trying to get them out of town.
All he's saying is
relocation fee.
All he's saying is there still needs to be some skill development there.
You know what? Why don't you play them and loser leaves town, Ocho?
1-on-5.
Yeah. Well, get yourself four guys and play them. Okay. Go ahead.
Can he get Arizona's four guys?
The greatest program in the country.
Can he get Arizona's four?
Hey, Ocho still has to be on the floor. So guess what?
We'll play zone. We'll sit him, hide him on a guy who can't shoot. Is the entire Cougs. Let's move to Tony. Tony, what have you learned? Let's get back to Tony. Tony, try it one more time. What have you learned, Tony?
I learned on Saturday that Toyota Center was just too horny for a gang of wholesome Midwestern kids to compete.
talking about Tony. Iowa.
Yeah. Poor Tony.
Make the Elite Eight, and your coach said he's staying.
You had your moment.
Yeah, that was a good. And you had a little run going for a little bit. And the first, like, things were looking up until, in both of those games, until Illinois and Arizona just smashed.
Once the Cougs were eliminated, it was the whitest Sweet 16 in history.
Yeah, it was very European.
I mean, you had Nebraska, Iowa, and Illinois.
Uh-huh.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
It was blinding.
Some of them had to get here on passports, so that's different, like I said.
Yeah.
We don't count those as loose
meats.
They're
still white.
The Battle of the Corn. That's okay, John. Does it upset you if there's white basketball players?
No, it just
was
blinding.
I always notice you get real mad when white people play basketball.
Yeah,
would you like to explore that with us?
No, I'm not mad. I'm just saying how...
You and Raheel are so mad that there's a bunch of whiteys out there.
I like when white players are out there.
Yeah. It just feels more comfortable.
Reminds me of a time gone by.
Yeah, with high pants, high shorts, and low dribbles, no carry-ins. Trust me, you're not going to get a carry.
Illinois, what kind of odds you got?
Illinois is one of the favorites to win. You know they're the favorite. Against who? UConn. They're a 2-point favorite.
Michigan's the overall favorite to win it all.
Michigan's
they've looked great.
Wow, does Michigan look good? Holy crap!
Yeah, but so does Arizona.
So does Arizona. This is a good Final Four.
Yeah,
we got a good Final Four.
Really is. Who's next, Al?
We go to Woods. Woods, what have you learned?
I learned that having your wife sell feet pics just to fill up your gas tank, that means you're going to put a vacation in Cabo.
I couldn't understand it.
Having a wife sell feet pics to fill up your gas tank actually, I think you said, turns into a trip to Cabo. I'm going to have my wife go get her nails done today. Hey, you need to go get a pedicure today.
The stuff men will pay for.
Amazing. No, and it doesn't change year by year, generation to generation. This generation is going to be the biggest feet pick generation. You know why? Because they're a bunch of lock-ins. They don't go anywhere. They don't do stuff. They just stay on their phone. So how are they going to get theirs? Digitally. That digital game is going to pay off for the 20-somethings as they get older, because they're not going to see humans, obviously.
No.
Not
in person.
AI, who's next?
AI models will probably be
a big
thing.
Yeah, they're taking over.
Let's move.
AI foot pick. Well, you know what that is? That's taking everyone's jobs.
It's true. True. Let's move to Peter. Peter, what have you learned?
Good morning, guys. I learned, as John said earlier, that maybe the umps aren't as bad at calling strikes and balls as we thought, or MLB rigs the system to not totally embarrass them.
No, it's too quick, and it's now way. How do you rig the?
They must have added Buckner then. He may be their most hated.
Yeah, they don't. Maybe Major League Baseball wants Buckner out.
I don't know if it's the same Hawkeye technology or whatever. It's the same. It's the same speed for tennis though. It doesn't take long.
No, it's quick.
Because it's happening as it happens. All they have to do is just play the graphic.
Yeah.
Like, it's tracking it as it happens in real time. It's just a matter of...
Very difficult.
It's just a matter of shooting off the graphic. That's
to
all.
To do what...
And it should be fast like that. And I like that it's on the screen. You know what's cool? That it's not like they wait and their stuff and they're doing all this. It's literally everyone waits and sees it like, yeah! God, that is going to piss the umpires off so bad. Oh, they're going to be furious, the umpires are.
Because they have to be the ones to go, batter X is challenging, and then wait, and then hear the crowd erupt.
The crowd erupts against them. They're going to be like, and there's nothing you can do about it. Nope. Except, like, throw Alex Cora out, which is kind of a horse.
It's the same that the tennis refs have faced for years now.
Yeah, but it's not like, but if you get mad, what are you going to do? Like, I'll show them, watch how much I give them off the plate now. Can't do that anymore.
No, can't do that.
Can't do that. So what is your get back?
Keep on getting called.
Yeah.
Worse and worse.
Yeah, so you can't have it in for a team, you know, except throwing guys out early, which is just going to make you look bad in Major League Baseball umpiring circles.
Why throwing them out? They tap their head. Well, one manager did get thrown out this weekend.
Cora.
No, Derek Shelton as well. Then Derek Shelton got thrown out
because
he was upset because he didn't. He thought the tap of the head took too long.
Took too long.
Oh, okay.
And Cora got thrown out for arguing as well.
Yeah.
Let's move to Tom on a headset. What have you learned?
Well, that was a check swing on Cora.
Yeah.
Well, he missed. By the way, that was a miss also.
Hey. Hey, guys. Morning. I learned sometimes you got to just let Tiger take the wheel unless your name is Eldrick.
Instead of Jesus take the wheel, Tiger take the wheel?
Yeah, listen.
No. I don't know if you saw the Tony Soprano meme. Did you see that one?
No.
Where it shows Tony hitting a golf ball and everyone's like, great shot, Tony. Like he was on the golf course. Then it cuts away to him going at it from a certain position with a girl. Then it shows him turning his car over and they're like Tiger Woods reenactment.
Oh, yeah. I learned that John Daly is actually smarter than Tiger Woods.
Yeah,
and that's Tiger
Woods
impossible.
Now. Tiger Woods now. Another DUI at least. Dumbest. Driving under the influence.
A billionaire that doesn't pay a driver. It's so stupid.
Let's get to LaRosa. Maybe we can talk about that on the other side.
All right.
LaRosa, what have you learned?
Los Angeles Johnny, give Lance a salchicha.
Hey.
All right, guys, I'm going to channel my inner Ocho again. Hey, guys, I learned that the Denver Summit is the newest attendance for women's soccer record holder. 62,004 fans this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, they had a game in, where the Broncos play. And 62,000 fans showed up to
Denver
watch
Denver Summit, that's female?
That is the NWSL, I believe, yeah.
What is it?
NWSL, the Women's Soccer League.
Nobody even knew that.
Well,
La Raza knew it.
He knew it. He called in.
He knew it.
Women's soccer. Before they played, no one knew what it was.
Well, you don't know that.
62,000 people showed up, so someone knew.
When you weren't on, Dell and I had a segment about
NWSL. I don't think we
NWSL.
Did that. That's not true. It was their first game.
Are you ashamed?
First home game. We didn't have a segment. Just lying. I'm not ashamed. The Denver Summit set the NWSL attendance record in their inaugural home game. So it was their first game at home. They said, hey, let's move that to where the Broncos play. And 62,000 people showed up for the game.
Wait, so the soccer season started?
For both leagues, yes. The MLS and NWSL.
And there's a team in Denver.
Correct, called the Denver Summit.
I learned two things this weekend.
You didn't know the soccer season that started in America?
Not NWSL.
Well, maybe we should focus on the domestic league because the national team got their ass beat. Ooh, they get beat down by Belgium.
Oh, Belgium. Nobody can beat Belgium.
Well, that's not true. Maybe we can't. It was 5-1, and then it became 5-2. Oof. Nice.
5-2.
Nice score in the first goal, and then giving up 5 straight.
Look at the heart we showed.
Yeah,
clawing back.
It is a friendly. You're pulling guys out, in and out, so you're not that cohesive, but oof.
We'll beat their ass when it counts.
I don't think we will. That whole semifinal stuff that Pochettino was saying, it's tough when you follow it up with, this might be your roster for the World Cup, and you get beat 5-2. In your own country.
Yeah. Well, you know, it doesn't matter, really. It's just a friendly. That's why they call them friendlies, Dell.
Well, they're supposed to be building up for the future, and it didn't go well. That's all. That's all. You're right. If they figure it out, but you're playing a mid-team, Belgium's not even that great. No. And you look like crap.
You guys figured it out. Great. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Nicely done. If you want to get in, you still got something to say. 713-780-3776.
Say it with your chest, though.
Yeah. Do it with your chest.
Say
Bring
it with
it.
Your chest.
Don't just, you know, walk in here lame. Bring it.
Don't come with that B-Lou energy. Bring the real stuff. The realness.
B-Lou. B-Lou energy.
No one knows except us what B-Lou energy is. What I know, and we all know what HRP is.
Hey, guys.
HRP is the best way for you to go about partnering on your payroll, partnering on your HR, partnering on your taxes. And I say partnering as opposed to, because they do. They partner with you. They are, it's more than just a payroll company. It's more than just an HR company. It's a company that is going to take stock in your business. It's going to look at every aspect of your, I've seen it. I brought them to a couple of businesses, and they will look at your business and they will go, here's where we can cut, here's where we can save you a lot of money. This is where you got a lot of fat that we can trim. This is where we can really, really make your business a lot leaner, a lot better, do it more economically. All of these things, okay? Here's where you're spending a lot of money on your benefits packages that you don't have to spend, your insurance plan, your 401ks. You can really, really, really make your business better, that bottom line better. If you're struggling with the bottom line, you don't know where it's going, HRMP can help. HRMP will come to your business and give you a free evaluation of what's going on and how they can you can do it better. HRP.net. What does it cost you? It doesn't cost you anything to call. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.